So we're up to Daf Pei Beis, sorry, Pei Gimel today, and we're gonna start from the beginning of sorry, the end of Pei Beis and Pei Beis, the last two words, Amar Rav. So Amar Rav going on to Pei Gimel and Aleph, Amar Rav, Lesel Masnisen Mekame Braisa. The Mishnah does not stand a chance. In other words, against the Braisa. What does this mean? So Rashi tells us that the Masnisen top line is Dikasani the Rabbi Yosi Androgynous and Ma'achil Es Isho B'Tshuma. Rabbi Yosi felt that an androgynous was a full-fledged zachar, and he's able to feed his wife truma. But the Braisa says, the Tanya, back to the Gemara now, the Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Omer androgynous birya bifnei asma hayu, velo hechriya bo chachamim im zachar im nekeva. So Rabbi Yosi felt that androgynous is its own creature, if you will, its own type of being, and therefore and the chachamim couldn't figure out whether it was a male or a female. And we see from here that he holds it's not a zachar, and therefore one would not be able to feed his wife. So Rabbi Yosef in the Mishnah said he's a zachar. Rabbi Yosef in the Braisa says it's a suffix. So we say for some reason that the Braisa, the Mishnah holds no water up against the Braisa. The Braisa beats out the Mishnah.
Because he changed his mind. It seems that he changed his mind afterwards.
Right. So Gemara has to prove that initially. How do we know he changes? How do you know the Braisa? So Gemara, other Rabbah, less the Braisa than Makami Masnisen. The Braisa shouldn't hold up anything against the Mishnah. The Mishnah always overrides the Braisa. So why are we saying the Braisa is the final opinion of Rabbi Yossi? That's a suffix. So the Gemara says, Midishavki Rabbi Yossi lebarzuge shmamina haderbe. Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah had presented his position alongside Rabbi Shimon, I think it was, right? Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah.
And now when it's presenting the Braisa, he stands alone. So the fact that he stands alone, it tells us that he left the position of Rabbi Shimon and he was chozer. So the Braisa is the final position of Rabbi Yossi. He says it's only a suffix. Now Tosos notes, if you look at the top Tosos here, just the first few lines, he says, Omeri, the high birya, the usage of the word birya in this context, lohavi pirusho, it's not the same explanation we find generally. Could go in birya, should be makom in other places. Sheno safik ela birya. Usually birya means it's not safik. Birya means it's his own independent, its own creature, its own identity. Here, birya means something different. The kamar hacha in this context, hainu shu safik, this is a birya that actually has a safik attached to it. So there's not the classic use of the word birya. Okay, now the Gemara says, around six lines down, Shmuel Amar less the Braisa Makami Masnisen. He argues the Braisa does not stand up against the Mishnah. The Mishnah overrides the Braisa. So the other Abba, less the Masnisen Makami Braisa. Then really, the other way around. Really, the Mishnah shouldn't mean nothing in the face of the Braisa. The Hasha Minalei the Shmuel, the Chayish Lichuda. So what's pshat in Shmuel? Because Shmuel holds that he is concerned for the opinion of the Yachid. So look at Rashi. Rashi explains the Chayish Lichuda. So he's concerned with the Dasa Yachid. He passes like Rabbi Yehuda. So here too also, he seems to be concerned with the position of a Yachid. So, So you're saying, Adar Abbalest the Masisim Mekami Braisa, Toshmeinan La the Mashmul de Chayish Li Yechida. So we see in general Shmuel's choshes for Das Yachid. So since the Braisa is a Das Yachid, so we should follow the Das Yachid and the Braisa over the Mishnah. Even the Mishnah has two people saying this, and the Braisa has one person. So we should follow the Das Yachid like we see Shmuel's opinion in general. So how could Shmuel come along and say we follow the Mishnah? We should follow the Das Yachid, Rabbi Yossi alone, who's mentioned in the Braisa. The Gemara says, "Hani mile kilo misakram masnisen." That's only true when we don't uproot the Mishnah. Ki misakram masnisen lo chayish. But when you uproot the Mishnah, so then we're not concerned with this position. So I'm not understanding this either. Let's see.
The only Indian is that they argue about the status of Antigonus. That's the source of it.
Okay, I see. The only time we follow a Yachid neged Rabim is only when the Yachid is not Oker the Rabim. So then there's a Yachid and... But if the Yachid is going to be Oker, the Rabbin that's appeared in the Mishnah, then we would not follow the Yachid.
You mean what is a complete contradiction?
When it's a complete contradiction, then we do not follow the Yachid. But the Yachid...
If it's a complementary...
Exactly. So in this case, the Yachid is being Oked the Rabbim of the Masnissen. How can we follow the Das Yachid? And we, in general, we follow Rabbim against the Yachid. Only time we're choshes for Yachid is fees, which is an independent opinion. But here, since the case is uprooting the Mishnah, we're not going to follow the Das Yachid that appears in the Braisa.
So we hold that androgynous is what?
The mice, I think we're passing it to Suffolk.
Oh, here's the Suffolk.
Okay. We're passing it to Suffolk, I believe.
Okay, now comes
up. So then the Gemara says, Amri be Rav Mishmei de Rav, Halach Kriyosi ban Jognish of Harkava. He holds we follow Kriyosi in the case of Anjognish, which we know, by Harkava, which we'll see. Ushmu Amar Bekushi Ubekiddish. And also in Kushi Kiddish, that these four cases. What? The Gemara is going to explain now.
It's like fun Mishnah and fun Gemara.
So this is just a fourth way, four situations we pass like Rabbi Yossi.
So we say that he is a Vadai Zachar.
No, I thought the way we pass him.
That's what Rabbi. That's
therefore,
what
he feeds his wife.
You're going on when we pass like Rabbi Yossi? Again, Rav says we hold like Rabbi Yossi in two cases. One is Anjognis, which we saw, and Rashi explains it's Masnissen.
It's Vadai
Zachar, right? That's what you see.
And even the Shok and the
Chazen Shok.
And Chazen Shok he gives.
Okay, we pass on Rabbi Yochanan also, I guess. Okay.
No, I'm asking you that.
I'm not sure. All we have right now is if you look at Rashi says halachic Rabbi Yossi to Masnissen regarding the Mishnah. Of that Rabbi Yossi Vadai Zachar. Regarding Chazer V'Shok, I'm not sure.
We don't know. Okay.
Seemingly, if you hold Vadai Zachar, he should be able to also give Chazer V'Shok as well. Now, then Rav also will be passing like Rabbi Yossi in regards to Harkava, which we'll see what that means in a moment. And Shmuel says we hold like Rabbi Yossi even by this case of Kushi and Mekiddish, which we'll see as well. So the total of four halachas, they will be passing like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara is going to go through one by one. First, Androgynous, Hadamr, like we already mentioned, Androgynous, that Rabbi Yossi, as Rashi told us, the Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah, that's Vadai Zachar, that's where we passing like Rabbi Yossi. That's number one. Now, the Mice, I don't think we passing that way, even though they say this. I think we passing that to Suffolk. Then the, let's see. Second. Okay.
You should have there the Alacha, no?
I have on top here the Ein Mishpat, and the right. Two lines down quotes the Androgynous as a Suffolk.
It makes sense.
Right. The only problem is here that if we say halacha is like one person, so then it's hard to go against that. Here we're saying Rav says halacha is like Rav Yossi by Androgynous, unless you're interpreting this to mean it's halacha like Rav Yossi in regards to the Brice and not in regards to the Mishnah.
But we've seen before that the Gemara says a halacha and we pass on different.
Right, you have to just explain why that is.
Is in regards to the Din.
The Din.
But not in regards to the Bria.
The Bria for sure is a suffix. Yes, both.
No.
Yeah, that's Rabbi Yossi the Brisa. Rabbi Yossi the Brisa says it's nothing.
I read in the commentary. Whatever. That it's for sure one of the two. It's Zachar or Nekeva. It cannot be both. Because that's what HaKadosh Baruch
Hu created. We don't know what it is, though.
No, Chachamim say it's a Bria Bifnei Atman, meaning that it's not really.
They said that it's a fake Badin.
Yeah.
What's the Din?
Yeah.
Because he has two. So, right. But it's for sure all that, all that. All this,
right.
All that.
Yeah, but we don't know.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All
right. Okay, next case is Harkava. So what's Harkava? Harkava means, in English, it's grafting. Grafting is to...
That's about kilayim?
It's a kilayim.
Yeah.
It's mixing two different fruits together.
Cutting a branch.
Exactly.
And putting it inside the tree as opposed to planting together.
Exactly. But again, it's like an esrog murkav. That's a big problem. The biggest problem of esrog murkav that was grafted with a lemon, that's pasal gamer. That's the biggest issue. If you have a grafted esrog, there's nothing to talk about. If it's a pure esrog, then you could talk about what type of psul it is. If it's this way, the pitum falls off. But murkav, there's nothing to talk about. It's not an esrog. So Gemara says now harkava. What's the halacha by harkava? The Tana, the Mishnah tells us that this is a Mishnah that's found when Rosh Hashanah and Shvi's, I think, right? Shvi's Rosh Hashanah. That ain't no tin vein, you're not allowed to plant. Vein mavrichin, you don't do this. Mavrichin is, I think you place the water around the plant or something. Is that what they're saying?
No, that's when you.
Mavrichin is bending the vine, okay?
And then you plant at the end.
The into the ground.
And then it goes back out.
Okay. Vein Markivin, that's the grafting. You put the two branches with each other. Erev Shvius, Pachos Mishloshim Yom, Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. 30 days prior, which is called Tosefes Shvius, 30 days starting Rosh Chodesh Elul of this past year, before our Shemitah year, that's also it's called Tosefes Shvius.
So all those actions are mutar?
No, these ain't nothing. You can't do these.
Ain't 30 days Lifnei Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
And let's say it's not in this Tkufa, it's mutar.
Oh, then in general, you're allowed to do this. You're allowed
it's
to plant. Climb, it would only be issues if you do two different fruits. But let's say you want to do the same fruits.
But it says here, Kava. בהרכבה, נוקבים חור באילן ומכניסים בו ענף באילן אחר.
Rav,
ענף החדש מתחבר לאילן, אך הוא נושא פירות מהמין והאיכות של האילן שמנו ניטל. Meaning, it sounds to me that you're mixing two things.
לישראל מוטב להרכיב ענף אילן שמאותו מין, ויש בזה תועלת כגון במקרה
של אילן. Yeah, it's the same tree.
But you're allowed to eat kilayim, you're just not allowed to plant kilayim. Meaning, if a goy does kilayim, you can buy it and eat it. There's no issue.
Grapefruits are kalaim, actually. Grapefruits is orange and and pomelo.
Really? And nectarines.
You can eat these things. Okay, so the halacha is that these, the 30 days prior to Shemitah year, it's called Tosefes Shvius, and you can't do any of these types of avodas karka. It's aser. Let's say a person did do this during Elul, before Shemitah year, Yaakor, he has to uproot any of these plants that he did. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Harkava, She'eno koletes b'shlosh yamim the shuv eino koletes. He says it takes around 3 days for two trees to graft with each other, if that's the proper way to use it, to grow with each other. If it doesn't graft in 3 days, it's not going to koletes, not going to connect anymore. You have 3 days, and then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. I think the Gemara is going to explain a little bit more now. And then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, omrim shtei shabbosos. You have 2 weeks for the grafting process to work. If it doesn't work after 2 weeks, it's no longer. It's not going to work. Vama Rav Nachman on this, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Lidivre HaOmer Shloshim, the one who requires 30 days. Tzatach Shloshim Vishloshim. So you need 30, right? The Tanakhama felt that, there's another opinion out there of 30 days for the grafting. We don't have the Tanakhama here. Tanakhama just says you can't graft within 30, you can't do any work within 30 days. So what it also says is you can't do the grafting, let's say, 15 days before, let's say, in Av, because then it's going to be koletes, possibly in Elul. So there's one opinion out there, the three opinions, how koletes works in terms of Harkava. There's 30 days, there's 2 weeks, and there's 3 days. Those are different opinions. So whatever those time period of the koletes takes place, that has to be prior to the Shloshim Yom of Elul. Elul is where Shvius begins. So the opinion of the Gemara says, the one who says that the Divrei Omer Shloshim, that it takes 30 days for a Kava, then you have to wait Tzarech Shloshim V'Shloshim. You have to wait 30 days before the 30 days of Shemitah before planting. That means Elul is 30 days of Tosefes Shvius. That means 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Av is when a person is allowed to do any of these plantings. But within Rosh Chodesh Av, even though it's not actually Tosefes Shvius yet, it's also because it can be Koletes during Tosefes Shvius time period.
So why does it say this is Hainu Tanakama? It's not Tanakama.
This is a very confusing. It appears in Rosh Hashanah.
It's specific, the Hainu Tanakama, whatever says Shloshim, but it's not because you need 33. Right?
You need, no, you need 30. 33 is an X opinion.
Shloshim Yom, Shloshim Yom Nasa. Ah, 30 plus 30.
Right.
Okay. Whoever holds it, you need 30 days.
Right.
Right. You need 60 days.
Everyone agrees that Rosh Chodesh Elul, 30 days is Tosefes Shvius. Right. Machlokes is before that.
How
you have to do 30 days, 2 weeks, or 3 days before them. So, right. Now the Divrei HaOmer Shlosha, you only need 3 days for Klita. Tzarech Shlosha v'Shloshim, you need 33 days. The Divrei HaOmer Shtei Shabbosos, Tzarech Shtei Shabbosos v'Shloshim. So regarding this halacha, Rabbi Yossi says you need 2 weeks. So we pass on Rabbi Yossi here also that 2 weeks already before Rosh Chodesh Elul, one has to refrain from doing any of these actions. Now, if you look at Rashi just quickly, there's an important line in Rashi. Rashi writes, Tzarech Shloshim V'Shloshim, Shloshim V'Shloshim, Kidei Shetiklot Shloshim L'Fnei Shvius. This way, you could have it be called 30 days before Shvius. Now, Rashi is really inaccurate. It's not 30 days before Shvius, it's 30 days before Tosefes Shvius. That's what you really need. Tosefet Shvius is like adding on to days of Shvius. Shvius is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, is where Shvius begins. But this Tosefet Shvius, there's added days.
Meaning when it's started or when it's
we
finished.
Start, or no, where we start early in the beginning. We start really Rosh Chodesh Elul. That Elul is called Tosefet Shvius. Uh-huh. Even though the new year doesn't begin until Tishrei, we add on beforehand additional days
like
earlier.
18 minutes of Shabbos.
So Rashi says you need 30 days before Shvius, but we're really talking about Tosefet Shvius, not Shvius. So Rashi goes on to explain, Dechol Shloshim Lifnei Shvius, Kishvius Damo. The 30 days is not just an ad, it's not a safeguard, it's actually Shvius that's drawn earlier. So the La Nafkamina is, one Nafkamina is, what's Usher, what's Mutter? So according to Rashi, everything's going to be Usher during the Elul because it's Mamish like Shvius. If you look at Tosos, we'll just look at one line in Tosos here. L'divrei Omer Shloshim, Tzarech Shloshim V'Shloshim. Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, Delava Shvius Kai. This is not referring to Shvius at all, this whole discussion of 30 days. Regarding planting, netiyah, by the way, it's different than zoreah. Zoreah is planting a seed. Netiyah is planting a, I think it's called a sapling, like a small little tree you place in the ground. That's what netiyah is. So zoreah is aser, but netiyah is not aser in Tosefet Shvius. Le'eser netiyah ha'nikletas but Tosefet Shvius. And therefore, Rabbi Tam thinks we're talking about arla, a completely different set of halachas. How it fits in, it's very challenging. We're not going to go through that Tosos right now. But what comes out, there's a machlokas. During Tosefet Shvius, is everything usher, even netiyah, like Rashi says? Or no, only a few things are usher, but netiyah is actually mutter during Tosefet Shvius. What comes out is Rashi and Tosefet argue, is Tosefet Shvius mamish like Shvius? And therefore everything's usher, that's what Rashi says? Or no, only certain things are, it's not mamish like Shvius. And a lot of other nafkaminas. Let's say a person does violate one of these malachos during Tosefet Shvius, is there going to be Malchus Derais or Malchus Derabanan? Machlokas and Moed Katan, the Rishonim there. Some say there's Malchus Derais because Tosefet Shvius is Mamash Shvius. Others say it's only Malchus Mardus, which is Derabanan, because it's only a Derabanan, not a Din Derais.
There's no such a thing, Malchus, right?
We don't give Malchus anymore.
No?
No.
We do something we do. This is something that we do.
Instead? No.
General,
The Sfardim, the Sfardim on Erev Yom Kippur, the Sfardim give lashes to each other.
Yeah,
Chassidim
too.
Chassidim, yeah. So that's the closest we have.
So
okay.
Okay.
Fine. So that's the first two halachas we pass on like Rabbi Yossi. One is regarding androgynous. One is by Harkava. Then the Gemara says, Ushmul Amar B'Kushi V'Kiddush. Shmuel says we also pass on like Rabbi Yossi regarding these two halachas of Kushi V'Kiddush. What does Kushi mean? The Gemara explains that Tanan Kama Yehe Kushia, how long is the labor going to last for? The halachas are that if a woman, koshi, that's a good koshi, exactly. How long is the labor pains going to be lasting for? So halacha is if a woman sees dam, of course she's going to be nida, and if she sees, let's say, dam when she shouldn't be seeing it, she's going to be a zava. So the way it works is there are 7 days of she's supposed to see dam nida, 11 days she's not supposed to see any dam. If she sees 3 days during the 11 days where she's not supposed to, it really ends up being more like 23 days, complicated Rambam Ramban. But let's say she sees dam for 3 days where she's not supposed to see, she's all zava. So let's say a woman's seeing dam from a labor pain for a very long time. So do we assume, let's say it goes on for 3 months and finally she gives birth, that during those times in the beginning, she was seeing dam when she shouldn't be seeing it, she's going to be called a zava. She saw zava and then she ended up giving birth. So she's what's called a yoledes bizava, bizova. So when a woman gives birth while being a zava, after she's tahor from giving birth, she has to count shivanikim. Now, anything we do b'zmazeh, don't try to translate. This is talking on a deraisa level. So, but in the deraisa level, if a woman were to give birth without being a zava, let's say she never saw dam, she gave birth that day, their dam came out, even if dam didn't come out, she's a yoledes. And after she becomes tahor, after the 66 or 80, 66 or what was it?
No, it's 33 plus 7. It's 40.
40 or 80 days.
Or 80.
40 or 80 days. After that time, she goes to the mikveh right away, no shivanikim. But if she gave birth while being a zava, she was a zava, never became tahor, then gave birth while being a zava, after she becomes tahor from yoledes, she needs to count now shivanikim. So we have to know how long this labor lasts
right,
for.
So the question is, if the dam that she sees during leida, how many days before it's considered part of the leida, or how many days it's zava?
Exactly, zava. Exactly. Okay. So the Gemara says now, regarding Kushi, or the Tanan, Kama Yehe Kishuyeha, how long does it last for? Rabbi Meir Omer, O Arba Mochamishim Yom, 40, 50 days, it can last for a very long time, he's saying.
Whoa.
So that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Daya Chadasha, a month is enough. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Kishu Yose Mishte Shabbosos, 2 weeks. So if you see, if a woman sees dam for more than 2 weeks during what's called labor, that means she saw for 3 weeks, that means the week beforehand was not considered labor pains. It was coming from dam that she shouldn't be seeing. So she's a zava gadola, and then she gives birth while being a zava gadola, and therefore she'd have to sit shivan akim after being tahar.
But even then, she had to sit. Is this shivan akim additional to the shivan akim? She has to sit if she gives.
Now, a woman
to a male.
Now, the way it works, the halacha is as follows: midiraisa, a woman who gives birth.
7 or 14, depends, right. Or a boy.
So that's not shivan akim. That is, she's tame for 7 days.
Right.
No nakim. She's tame for 7 days for a boy, 14 days for a girl. After that time, then any dam she sees is called dam tahor. For a boy, from day 8 until day 40, those 33 days, she's going to be tahor.
Right.
After day 40, she goes right to the mikvah. There's no shivan akim. And also for giving birth to a girl, from day 15 till day 80, those 66 days, any dam she sees a dam tahor. Day 80, she could have seen dam the day beforehand. Day 80 comes, that night, she go to the mikvah, no need for shivan akim.
Right.
But if she was a zava beforehand, before as a yoledes, she give birth as being a zava, so that tumah lasts for a long time. And then she has to stop seeing dam, count shivan akim before going to the mikvah.
After the 40th or the 80th, she has to count shivan akim.
After day 7 or 14. So she sees dam tahor,
because
she's tummy, she's a zava.
So her yemei tahara start a week later.
Exactly, but if she sees dam, so that dam, even though it's dam tahor, I believe will not count for shivan akim. So women,
she's in big trouble.
Usually women, at least bismazeh, women will see dam for 6 weeks or so.
But
right now, that's why we don't allow for dam tahor. We assume every woman's a zava. We said so. It's always zava. So, and therefore. Okay. Then the Gemara on the bottom says, the fourth case we pass like Rabbi Yossi is Kiddush. What's Kiddush? So the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Meseches Kalayim, I imagine, that HaMesachich Gafno Al Gave Tuvasel Shel Chavero. Person makes a schach. He takes the vines of the grapevines and has it hang over the grains of your friend. Hareza Kiddush. That's Mekadesh, that's Kalayim. They're drawing nutrients from each other, even though there's a distance, there's a space between them. That's Kiddush V'chai Bachriso, and I've got to pay back the damage. David has this nice little wheat field next to me. I take my grain vines and hang them over his. Now I acid all your grains because of Kalayim. They're drawing nutrients from each other, and I have to pay you the damage I caused to making your grain Kalayim. Divrei Rebbe Meir. That's all according to Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shimon, Omrim, they say, no, not true. They say, Ein Adam Oser Davar Shein Shelo. I am not able to aser David's property, and therefore it is not considered Kalayim. So this comes at somewhat of a surprise to us, because typically we think Kalayim is a physical thing.
Right.
If they're drawing nutrients, I don't care if I'm doing it or you're doing it. The Gemara is telling us it's not a physical thing. It's creating some type of Kedusha, and that Kedusha can only be created by someone who owns it. Another Raya for this is very interesting. You look at the Gemara's in Erevin. They compare Mechitzas of Erevin to Mechitzas of Kalayim. So one of the halachas are, I can have my wheat right next to my grapes, and I can build this fence, which doesn't have a wall, but I can build a fence like with a line, with a string, and it serves as a halachic fence. Well, how does that help? There's airspace. The nutrients are drawn from each other. The issue is, as long as there's some halachic divider, then it's okay. Even though they might be physically drawn from each other. You could create somehow a Kalayim that won't create pomelos that way. I mean, grapefruits, because they have to mamish graft with each other. But you could at least have them next to each other and draw some type of flavor, as long as there's some halachic string and halachic mechitza. So it's not about physical thing. It's more about halachic separation or who owns it. Now, there's interesting tosas on top here. We do have time, I think. Tosas writes on top, Ein adam osen davar sheino shelo. A person cannot ask for something that's not his. I can't go over to your animal and say, your animal's now hektish. I have no right to do that. The Tosfos says, Vim Tomer, Maishna Minosin Nevela Ochelev Betavshil Shechaveru, Shineser. So wait a second. That means I can't go over to your pot and I could drop a piece of pig in your pot. I can't ask for your food. So that would be allowed. I could go, if you want to taste pig, or you want to taste bas b'chalav, let me go to your items and I'm going to put the food in there and it won't be us because Adam ain't Adam Osir Davar Shein Shalom. The Tosfos says, no, that's obviously not true. If I put pig in your pot, that's obviously going to be usr. Omer re-explains, it's only when something is talib b'machshava, I don't have the right to put my machshava to create something. Something that has to do with physical things, like putting a treif into your food, that obviously will be usher regardless of any machshava. That's what he goes on to explain.
Yeah.
So we see kalaim. Kalaim is not a maisa. It's about machshava. That's the chiddush by kalaim. Okay. So those are the four lachos we pass on Rabbi Yossi. They are again androgynous, harkava, koshi, and kiddush by kalaim.
In the spring, don't they send out the inspectors and they give you like, you got to go out there and pull out your kalaim?
Right. Yeah.
That grew over the winter. You didn't have machshava that it should grow there.
Uh-huh.
It was totally physical.
No, but this, I think this is machshava towards somebody else, not towards yourself.
Who sent the inspectors?
The mission says.
They cleared the, they fixed the road. They did a few things in order to make so that.
Yeah. Isn't here the case that it's machshava to do something bad to somebody else as opposed to your own stuff?
Yeah, is that true? Yeah, I don't know. I think Harry might be right, because I think climb is dependent on machshava, even on your own. That it's possible that it might be mafreya denichle. If I see that they're growing together, might make for an interesting fruit combination. So maybe it'd be mafreya machshava that I wanted. Maybe that's the point. But it could be right. I'm not sure.
But Toysu's examples are always towards somebody doing something to somebody else.
Right now, I can't answer somebody else. I can answer my own, though, but only be machshava.
Maybe your own is whether you have machshava or not, and somebody else's is only be machshava.
But he said, Tone says this is all tali be machshava. The whole thing depends on machshava. So by machshava, I could infuse machshava to my own items, but I can't put machshava to somebody else's. But I think the overriding, the governing point here is machshava. I seem to recall that. I think by the case of Klein that you're referring to, that he sent out the messengers, I thought they're saying that they might be nichle, they might be happy when they see them growing together, and that's why it takes effect, maybe. But I don't know much about Klein. Okay, the Gemara top line says, Amr Beis Ibai Lahu Bandrognus Mali. What's halacha by Androgynous? I mean, I guess we in the end, did we pask in this way?
Yeah. Meaning that if he had the machshava he started putting a fence and he didn't finish it, it's for his own, it seems.
He will not ask
her. He will not ask her because he had the machshava to do it.
He wanted to build a fence and the fence never got there. So it is telling by machshava. So I guess same thing here also. Why they send them out is because if they see it, they might be interested. Oh, that looks like a nice combination of fruit. So that would be a machshava, I guess, lemafreya, that would create an issur kalaim. Okay, now the Gemara asks, top line, Ibailhu bandrognus mali. So I guess the fact that he's passing like Rav Yossi, so what does Shmuel hold about this? What does he hold of Shmuel? Mali Amar Shmuel. Does Shmuel agree to Rav that we also passing like Rav Yossi by androgynous? Or Shmuel only says statements by Koshi and by Kiddush? So Gemara says, Tashma Damar Shmuel le Rav. Shmuel says to Rav Anan, less le Braisa, Mikami Masnisen. Le Braisa is nothing up against the Mishnah. And therefore what? So we see from here,
Kezachar Vaday.
We pass like Rav Yossi of the Mishnah. So we do pass like Rav Yossi of the Mishnah at Zachar Vaday, right? In accordance with what Rav says. So he does hold of Rav that we hold like Rabbi Yossi by androgynous in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara asks, what about Harkava Mali? What is Mali Amar Shmuel? What is Shmuel hold by Harkava? We hold like Rav held like Rabbi Yossi by Harkava of 2 weeks. Does Shmuel agree to that also? Tashma, Damar Le Shmuel Ravanan, Tani Kaman, Amar Shlosha, Ushloshim, 33 days. He does not hold like Rabbi Yossi. Regarding Harkava, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, I think it was, 33 days. Koshi Mali Amar Rav. What does Rav hold about Koshi that Shmuel commented on? We don't know what Rav holds. We have no sources, no texts. And Kiddush Mali Amar Rav. What does Rav hold by the Koshi of Shmuel? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma Damar Rav Huna Amar Rav Ein Halacha Rav Yosi. We do not pass like Rav Yosi by the case of Leda. Okay.
That is
Kilayim. That this is, oh, I'm sorry, Kiddush. I'm sorry. By Kiddush, by Kilayim, that what he held, that you are not chai b'acharas, ein adam osa davar shein shalo. We hold differently, that I guess a person may asa davar shein shalo. I don't think that's a general thing. I think it must be something unique to klaim, that maybe by klaim he thinks it's not an issue of machshava, but klaim it must be an issue of a physical thing. And if there's a physical growth of two things together, that's going to be asa regardless of who's doing the growing. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar le Abai, my chazus to samchus ahach, samachaha. Why are we being so much on this be samich on that. What's this versus that? So, I mean, in regards to Kiddush, the last one.
Yeah.
Rav says we don't pass on like Rav Yossi, and Shmuel says we do. So why are we being samich on this one, not on that one? Dama Rav Ada bar Amar Rav halach Rav Yossi. Because we have another statement that Rav actually does hold like Rav Yossi. So we have two different dissenting opinions. What Rav held by Rav Yossi.
I think you can smoke aha.
That's it, yeah?
Smoke aha.
I thought, okay. My chaz is the samich asaha, samich aha. Why be samich on that statement of Rav?
No, it's my chaz is the samach aha. And it says smoke aha.
So. Right, and the following.
Right.
Why be samich on what Rav said earlier, that he holds not like Rav Yossi. Samich aha hold the following, another statement in the name of Rav, Dama Rav Ada, Amar Rav halacha ki Rav Yossi. We have two different opinions, what Rav held, like Rav Yossi.
Right.
So Amri Beirav Manu Rav Huna Amar Ein Halacha. So who's Beirav? Beirav is Rav Huna. Rav Huna said this Halacha is not that way. So I guess we're changing around. It's not really Rav. We're saying Rav Huna holds Ein Halacha Rav Yossi, and Rav Huna is not right. Quoting Rav. It seems like.
שאלנו מהי דעתו של רבי של רב בקידוש כלי הכרם רב הונה הוא הרי אמר בעצמו שאין הלכת רבי יוסי
Okay, now the Gemara says the two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tumtum. So what Rabbi Yehuda, what was his full statement? Rabbi Yehuda felt that Tumtum is Shenikvim, says Zachar, lo yachlitz mipnei shuksir. So even if a person does find out that Tumtum is a Zachar, he's not allowed to do chalita because he's going to be a sris anyways.
Because he holds that he's not going to have kids anyway.
Exactly. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rabbi Yami, my avilei, Rabbi Huda lutumtum, dibiri de osava. What's Rabbi Huda going to do about a situation of apparently a particular maisa where such a tumtum had children? So it goes against what he says. Rabbi Huda assumes any tumtum by definition is going to be a sris, but there's such a maisa that a tumtum had children. De o svohu abe kursa. Vikri, and apparently they placed him on a chair, and then they tore open, and it turns out Veolid Shvabanim, he had seven children. So what's Rabbi Huda going to explain? This undermines his whole idea. Amarle, so Rabbi Huda Amarle, Amalach, he says back, Chazer Abanav Ma'inhem. If I were you, I'd go check out to see where the children came from. Highly doubt it came from this person.
That is covered.
So what's the problem?
You don't know what gender it is. Unclear.
The connection, if he's serious or not.
Rabbi Huda felt that tumtum by definition can't have children.
Even after they expose his whatever he is, if it's a zachar, he cannot have kids.
No.
And since he can't have children,
sure. Yes.
He can't do chalitza. So we have a mice. Apparently, it's such a tumtum who had children. Rabbi Huda says, if I were you, I'd check out to make sure who the real father is. It's probably not the tumtum. He can't have children. Tanya, the Brisa said, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda, Omer tumtum lo yachlots shama yikuv nimsa sris chama. So tumtum should not be chalitza because perhaps you might find out he's a sris chama.
Sischama is good.
Sischama, he can get healed. Right, that's machlokas, whether or not that we allow that to work or not for chalitza. Some said you can because it gets healed very good.
Now, in regards to the previous point, that he can have children too.
No, sischama is somebody who was born.
But he can't get healed, though.
But he can get healed.
That was a kula bite, and the kula bite says Adam was that he was once had a shas kosher. So different opinions. So this opinion, I assume, this holds that even a sischama is going to be problematic because it was born without ever shas kosher. So Gemara said, wait a second. Atu kol de mekare zachar havi. Anything that anyone who is exposed is going to be considered zachar. Hachi kama. The way you read the statement is as follows. Shema yikra v'nimsa nekeva. Because perhaps it's going to be nekeva. So it's a nekeva, certainly there's no need for chalitza. V'afila nimsa zachar. And even if you do find that it's a zachar, shema yimsa siris chama. Maybe it's going to be siris chama. So therefore, the tumtun, for these two reasons, should not perform chalitza. The Gemara says, "My benai, what's the difference between which two cases right now? My ika ben Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda le'avua. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda said these two reasons, and his father, Rabbi Yehuda himself, said that also they can't do a tumtum cannot do chalitza. Is there a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda? So I'm a Rava lifsol b'makom achin ulechlot shol makom achin ika benayom to passel in the situation of brothers." And to do chalitza when there are no brothers. What does that mean? So Rashi explains the psol b'makum achin. Im yesh achin shleimum imo. Let's say he has other brothers. V'chalitz la tumtum. And the tumtum performs chalitza. The Rebbe Yehuda Amar Shu Sris Machzik La Besris Vaday. Rebbe Yehuda assumes he's a Vaday Sris. Velo Pasul Le'achin U'Misyavemes, and it will not disqualify the brothers because a Vaday Sris Chama, a Chalitza is nothing. It's pointless. It's worthless. But according to Rebbe Yossi, Shema, it's only a Safek Katani, Sveku, U'Pas La'achin Dim La Sris Hava V'Chalitahi. Maybe he's not a Sris. And if he's not a Sris, then the Chalitza was a good Chalitza, and it will disqualify the other brothers from doing this. That's one nafkamina. Nafkamina 2 explains Rashi. Let's say there are no other brothers. Im ein shem ach elohu. He's the only brother. This tumtum, the Rebbe Yehuda, lo bay chalitza mina. You don't need anything. Because this tumtum is a vadei sris. There's nothing that you can do it if you want, but it's really pointless. There's no need to encourage him to do this. But according to Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, it's bay chalitza misafik. Since it's a safik, it's worthwhile to encourage. You actually have to make him do the chalitza in order for it to marry somebody else, because let's say he is really a zachar, he has to release her to marry somebody else. Those are the two nafkaminas between Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda himself. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel, around halfway down the page, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Achud, Rabbi Yehuda bar Zavdi, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Androgynous Chayav Malav, Skila, Mishem Ekomos. We saw this yesterday's daf, that Shem Ekomos are going to be Chayav Skila for the Androgynous. We treat him both as a Zachar and as an Akeva. Gemara says, now, Mesivei, Rabbi Eliezer Amar Androgynous Chayav Malav Skila, Kizachar. He's only Chayav as a Zachar, not as a Nekeva also. Bamed Ramurim Bizachar Shalom. Abab Nekeva Shalom Pater. So we see from here that he's not Chayav in Shem Makom, he's only Chayav in one Makom. So Gemara says, Hu Damar Ki Aitana, he holds like the following Brisa, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, Rav, the first statement of Rav, so he can't argue on the Mishnah. So who does he hold? Like, he holds like another Tana, the Tanya Rabbi Simai Omer Androgynous Chayav Malav Skila. So we have machlokas tonight, whether or not it's chayv in shem makomos or only chayv b'makom echad. My time with Rabbi Simai, what was his basis that you're chayv in shem makomos? I'm a reva bar hamaduri asaver li. I'm going to explain to you. Ves zachar lo tishkav mishkavei isha. This is talking about mishkav zachar, and the pasuk says mishkavei isha. Is zachar sheish bo shnei mishkavos? What's the type of male who has shem mishkavos? Haviomer zeu androgynous. Androgynous is the source. Androgynous has shem makomos. B'shtei Mekomos.
But it says here, the Ritva, mitkasher b'yurgush yad ha'gmara, alo amaru leh, sheraf pasak kedat Rabbi Yosi b'shtei Shantinglus, dino zachar kezachar v'day.
And therefore it wouldn't be b'shtei Mekomos. Not here? That's his question, he doesn't have an answer for it?
It's long. He does,
but it's long.
Okay. I was
probably it does.
There is, I'm sure there is.
Then the Rabbanan Afa gav this by Shem Mishkavos as Zachar Ksiv. You're right, even though there might be Shem Mishkavos by Androgynous, it still says as Zachar, the singular, just a male, to say he's only Chayv on one. And then the Gemara says, Rabbanan Zachar Greda Minale. So, Zachar Greda Minale.
Rabbanan Klomar Rabbi Eliezer Hasover Shegam Hakatub Ed Zachar Nemar Al Androgynous Lamdosh Ein Chavim Alav Elak Derechava Al Hazachar.
This talking about a androgynous. So how do you know a Zachar itself, just a Zachar alone in general, there's an issue, there's an Isser of Mishkav Zachar. He learns out, Me'isha, the fact that the word says Isha in the Pasuk here, that's the source. I guess it's an extra word here. Why are we saying Isha? That's coming to include even a Zachar Greda. Now, B'isha Shlokadarka Minale. So an Isha Shlokadarka, that's considered, it's going to be an Isser Arayos as well. Where is that learned from? Mi va isha, the extra letter vav in this context. Okay? So I'm Rav Shizvi, I'm a Rav Chizda lo lechol, I'm a Rabbi Eliezer Androgynous Zachar Malayahu. We don't say that Androgynous is a Zachar Bama regarding all halachas. Who? Shima Taomerkin, if you were to say that he's a mamish, a full fledged Zachar, b'mukdashin yikadesh. Regarding mukdashin, it should work. It should be, meaning if an animal was an androgynous, we should be allowed to makdish and makriv such an animal as an androgynous. Therefore, we all view androgynous as a full-fledged zachar. Where I said, wait a second, milan de lo kadish, how do you know a person may not be makdish an animal that's an androgynous? So the Gemara says as follows. The Tanur Rabbanan, hanirva, hanirva is an animal that has been nirva from another animal. Hamukta, been set aside for avodah zara.
Here it says, of sherab o adam.
This first answer is a thing. I thought I saw it all with Gemara.
They are doing Melika to an Ofshe. This is what Rav Arscroll is saying.
Uh-huh, that's what it says here also. I said, okay, it's Rashi and Bechoros. Okay. So a Nirva from a, okay, interesting case.
The person that's
right.
An Ofshe.
Okay. Hamukta, which is designated for Evo Dezara.
Yeah.
Hanevad is an animal that not only was designated but was actually used, that was bowed down to, Rashi says, and made into a Avodah Zarah. The Esnan, which is money that was used for a Zona. Umechir was an animal that was sold for a dog, we said, right?
Yeah.
And then Tumtum, Androgynous, Mitamim Begadim Abes Hablia. So all these cases here are Mitamim Begadim Abes Hablia. So Allah is, Rashi doesn't explain how this works. Yeah, Rashi does say, it's not in the bowl though. Person, Nivlas Of Tahor. A person, let's say, Ein Latuma Elva Beis Ablia. Allah is a person that takes a kosher bird and he eats it as a nevela, not shechting it properly. He bangs it over the head and kills it. That's a nevela, but it's an Of Tahor. It's a kosher animal, kosher bird, but it's not shechted. And he eats it. He's not Tameh, he's Begadim, not Tameh until he swallows it. He has to swallow it for it to be considered Metamis Begadim. So all these cases also, if it's a Of Tahor, and it's Neva, that's on any of these cases, on Androgynous included, so he will also be Metame in the base, once you swallow it, will be Metame be base Blia. So then Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tumtum van Androgynous, ein Metamin Begadim a base Blia. He says, not true, that they're not going by, Tumtum Androgynous will not Metame a person's Begadim when he swallows such a bird. Shaya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, komakum shenemar zachar nekeva, atamotzi Tumtum van Androgynous, mibinem. Whenever male and female is being used, that by definition excludes an androgynous, which is neither one. V'of, ho, v'lo, nemer, bo, zachar, v'nekeva, yata, motzi, tumtum, androgynous, mibinam. So since it does not mention zachar, v'nekeva regarding a bird, we are not going to exclude androgynous, mibinam. I thought he just did exclude it, though. Didn't he exclude it?
What's saying here is that the reason why this is an avail is because they did Melika, and Melika, since they're Asur, they're Tamei.
Right, Melika only works on a Kodesh animal, not a Chulin animal.
Right.
So Melika is a Nevela, anything outside the basement, this is going to be considered Nevela.
Right.
So a person did Melika on any of these items, so it will be considered Nevela, according to the Tanakhama. But with all other things, an Androgynous and a Tumtum will not be a Nevela, it will be a good Shechita. But I'm not getting why. I thought you were trying to say it's not Mekadesh.
So he's saying that when the Torah writes Zachar Nekeva, then we are posel etuntum and androgynous, and that's the case of a behema. In the case of the off, there is never a case where the Torah specifically says Zachar Nekeva, so then he's not posel such an off. Because Shafilu im einam lo Zachar velo Nekeva mikol makom lo miata haTorah veimigdish achala aleim kedushat korban.
Now, traffic how it works with the Malika. What he's saying is that. Let's go through this again. The Tanakhama.
He's saying specifically that since the Torah didn't say Zachar and Nekeva by off,
there's no kedusha by them.
Then a tumtum and androgynous is kosher, it's fine.
We're trying to look for a source. How do we know tumtum and androgynous has no kedusha for carbon? That's the whole point here. Remember, just to backtrack for a second. Rabbi Eliezer's statement was that he's not an androgynous zachar, he's not an zachar ma'alya regarding all halachas. Because if he were to be a zachar regarding all halachas, you should be able to be makdish in androgynous.
Right.
But we know from Rabbi Eliezer, as we're trying to prove now, that you cannot be makdish in androgynous.
Right.
So how are we proving that? So we're starting proving this through the Malika. So let's go through this brisa. According to Tanakhama, who says that a tumtun androgynous can be metame begadim abeis bliya. What does that mean? It means that according to them, a tumtum vajognus, you can makdish, according to Tanakhama, you can makdish a tumtum vajognus. But since you can't be makriv a tumtum vajognus, the malika does not remove its status from a nevela. So you do malika on the, even though there's kedusha to the tumtum vajognus, you shecht with the malika, the malika is only shecht to something that's right to hakrava. It's not right to hakrava, therefore it makes him into a nevela. But according to Rebbe Lezer, who says that they're not mitame, he holds that Malika is going to be motziit from a nevela.
On and off, but not on a behema.
On and off, exactly. On and off.
So it's fine, but this Rabbi Yehuda is cholik on the Tanakama.
No, exactly. He is cholik on it because he holds that what?
He holds that Malika will take it out of a nevela if they do in a Malika to an tumtum and dragon.
And therefore, tumtum and dragonus can be makdish and can be
yes. Because it doesn't say Zachar on the
Keva. Ah, oh, but the implication, that's all by oath. But we're trying to infer from that, by a behema.
Right, so behema is okay.
Okay, only by a bird, we say Malika is okay, according to Rebbe Lazar. Because Androgynous is not, you don't mention Zachar on the Keva. But the implication is, by a behema, where it does mention Zachar on the Keva, then Androgynous would not be able to be Kadosh in the carbon. That's right. So when Rebbe Lazar holds that Androgynous is Zachar Malia, it's not across the board, because of the case of the behema, we will not allow to be makdish and androgynous. Okay. Let's try to, we still have 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's finish the parak.
Today's 7:05, not 7.
Yeah. Today's a Friday, right?
Yeah,
7:05. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, last line of the page, Af Ananami Tanina, we also have a Mishnah that says this, that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hakalayim Utrefa Vyote Dofen, Tumtum Vandrognus, Lo Kadushin Lo Makadshin. So they're not kodesh, not mekachin. This is referring to animals now. It's behemoths, not referring to birds. So you see from, right, this goes through, Rashi goes through all these different sources. So all these things, there's no kedushin, no mekachin. Rashi, and the Gemara explains, Amar Shmuel, lo kedushin b'timura, lo mekachin b'osei timura shema mina. Regarding timura, they're not kedushin b'timura. Rashi says, lo kedushin b'timura, lo mi bai tchilas hakdesh lo kadshi. Needless to say, in the beginning, there's certainly no kedusha to start off with. Da filum ba mum shekidem mum al hakdesh lo nachta le kedusha zaguf. A ba mum, you can't have kedusha in a ba mum. Ela filu im himer kodesh bahen hani lo mekadshi. Even if you try to do tamura, we're not going to go through tamura right now. If you attempt to do these types of things of tamura, making tamura go onto it or from it, those won't work either. So we see from all this that kedusha will not be chal. Let's finish reading Rashi since we still have time anyways. So Rashi says that, let's say I take an animal that has a pure kedusha. I try to be maimer. I try to take the tamura, transfer the kedusha onto this animal that's an androgynous, for example. It's not going to work. Dilu bal mum chaylaleh kedusha taguf lesa begita avoda af mishi yifte. Even though by a bal mum this kedusha taguf may be chal and bal mum, to at least aser a bal mum animal, right, the giza shearing the wool and avoda using it, to berah im hemir yaminu afil hachi ahani lo l'chayli. Even though tamur works on a bal mum, tamur will not work on an androgynous or all the other ones that were mentioned above. And number two is v'im kadosh lasos tamura im heim kedushim v'heim rechulin bahem einan osin tamura. So I'm not sure this case. What's this other case?
V'im kadosh lasos tamura im heim.
Let's say, I guess, you were first makdish them, and then they became an androgynous or any of the above cases?
I think it's the other way around, that he was makdish an androgynous, and he's trying to do tomorrow the good one.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I think so, but, yeah.
Rashi must be talking that the case is that, yeah, he was makdish an atunto androgynous, and he's trying to do tomorrow to a regular chulik.
And that's not going to work either.
Right.
So the rule being is that we here see from this mission as well, that there is no kedusha chal on a tumtum vandrognus, supporting the idea of Rabbi Elazar, that again, even though Rabbi Elazar holds that androgynous is viewed as a zachar ma'alma, zachar ma'alya, it's not across the board, because an exception is androgynous behema will not be no kedusha chal, it's not viewed as a male. Then the last few lines of the parak tells us that Rabbi Eliezer, Omer chayim lav skila kazachar, he holds that a androgynous is a full-fledged zachar, and there's a chiv skila. So Tanya, I'm Rebbe, kishalachti l'motora etzel Rebbe Elezer ben Shmua, chavru alai tamidav Ketana Golem Shah Base Bukya. Okay, when I went to learn by my Rebbe Rebbe Elazar, the May Tamidim gather around me like a chickens in the Base Bukya. I guess must be cramped together in one of these chicken coops. Then they push me out. It's like when you go see some of the Gedolim, they don't let you in. You get like one question, you have 10 seconds, and that's it. That's what happened to him. So he said, "B'mishnah senu, I learned the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, androgynous, chayav malav skila b'kazachar." This is the one halacha I came out with learning from Rabbi Elazar that he holds that chayav skila, hajin alach ha'arel.
Hajin alach ha'arel.
Okay, shkoyach.
Shkoyach,
mazal tov.